Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Community Development Cooperation and Ministry. So glad you have stopped by the show today. I want to thank everyone that have already tuned in and those that's on my switchboard as we speak. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Joy and Peace again. So glad you could take out from your busy schedule and stop by this morning. We have an exciting topic we're going to talk about, and I want anyone that feel free to chime in on the subject. If the Lord leads you to, just hit one on your keypad, and I will be glad to bring you in. And if you know someone that really need to listen to the program today, have them call area code 646-716-4389. That number again is 646-716-4389. Gracious Father, we thank you for this program. We thank you for those that's already on, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for those that will listen in the archive, dear Heavenly Father. As we go forward with the program today, dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to let the Holy Ghost speak through me, dear Heavenly Father. It's not about Sadie, but it's all about bringing your word, dear Heavenly Father, and carrying your word, dear Heavenly Father. It's not about being in front of a million people or 50 people. It's about being before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And blessed be the name of our Lord. Amen and amen. Well, our topic today, I thought this was very fitting for today, the important role of a woman. And women have wear many hats, not just for cooking, not just being a wife, not being a companion, aunt or auntie or sister, but women, important roles of women. And I'm going to speak about role of women in ministry today because women fit right in ministry. You know, throughout the scripture, women play an important role, and their influence on the Christian should never be underestimated. Women was the last ones present at Jesus' cross and the first at his tomb. They was the first to announce his resurrection, and they undoubtedly present at the first domestic devotion. While Jesus ministered to the crowd of Galilee, he was served by a group of women who used their own possessions to support him and his disciple. You know, when the apostle first arrived in Europe, they were welcomed by women. So I don't know where people get off that women can't do anything in ministry. Women can't do this and can't. But we're going to go dissect and go into the scripture today on the different things of women. You know, God has ordained the family unit to serve as a model for the entire church, with the father as the head of the home and function as a servant leader, as described in Ephesians 5. We therefore believe, that both men and women can reach their full and fullest potential in ministry within the structure of the biblical family model. You know, God has placed in position women not only in government, authority, they have senior pastors, they also have elders of the church. You know, the equality of men and women today. The Bible clearly revealed that God is not a respectable person. You'll find that in Romans 2 and 11, Acts 10 and 34. Ephesians 9:6-9. You know, at Trinity, we ascribe to a belief in the equality of all men and women. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled both men and women alike without concern of gender. We just had Pentecost, as you all already know, those that's on the broadcast, on the line, listening in now. We just finished Pentecostal, but with us, Pentecostals still go on to have a day set aside. But here they're telling you in Scripture that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled both men and women. They didn't just fill the men and leave the women out. The Holy Spirit came and filled the men and the women. Both women and men are called to faithful service and good stewardship of all that God provides. We discover throughout the New Testament that both gender participated in variety of Christian service, including prophecy, leadership, teaching. You'll find that in Acts, Romans, and Corinthians. You know, the working of the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the most quoted prophetic declaration is found in the book of Joel, where the prophet writes that God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. He didn't say some, he said all flesh. And your daughter shall prophesy. He said in his word, your daughter shall prophesy. So why can't a woman do what God has called her to do? Hallelujah. The important role of women today. Your daughter shall prophesy, and upon the handmaiden in those days, I will pour out my spirit. You'll find that in Joel, the second chapter, the 28th through the 29th verse. You know, nowhere in the writing of the New Testament do we find conditions or exceptional placed on the distributing of spiritual gifts along general and gender line. You don't find that nowhere in the scripture that he only said one specific person could do one specific thing. It's not in there. You know, while some gifts are spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit, others are recognized ministry gift to the church. All gifts are given by God, not man, by God, for his greater purpose and without regards to social, economic, or gender. You know, we conclude therefore that women can serve in vital roles in ministry. And this position is further illustrated in the Apostle Paul. Men are referred to women serving with him in ministry throughout the church. Here they're talking about in the Word of God. Paul had women that ministered with him in the scripture throughout the church. It's in the Word. It's in your Bible if you have not tore your pages out. You know, over in 1 Corinthians 14 and 34 to 35, Paul writes to the church at Corinth. And a lot of people get this misconstrued where it says, let your women keep silent in the church, but it is not permitted unto them to speak. That ain't what it meant. Unfortunately, this passage has mistakenly been cited to justify a position that rejects the biblical role of women in ministry. Actually, when understood within the context of Paul's complete letter to a very troubled church, we gain a more informal perspective. Given that early in his letter, Paul gave instruction regarding how women should pray and prophesy in public. Now, the word said Paul gave that in the word to pray and prophesy. So what are you doing? You are opening your mouth. You are going before God's people. You are telling them what God says. All right. You know, over in 1 Corinthians 11 and 5, it says, it can be assumed that Paul must have meant something other than absolute prohibit for women in the public arena of ministry. You know, such interpretation would simply fail to coincide. Hold on a minute. I want all of us to get this today. With countless other writings. You know, we concluded that within the context of the situation at Corinth that prompt the letter to be written originally. Paul admonishes here is in referring to excessive disruption and disorder taking place. You know how some people can be in the body of Christ and be so disrupted, they stop the minister or whoever is up talking and start saying what they want to say instead of just listening. And here causing a whole lot of calamity. He didn't say women could not minister in the church. It's showing here in the text that Paul had women ministering with him way back there that was ministering with him in the gospel. You know, another challenger passage centered on Paul's instruction to his young apprentice, which was Timothy, When he writes, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. A lot of people feel no woman should have an authority over a man. So he created man first, and he created woman from man. We understand that. But when you get in that Bible and search what God is saying, Paul was offering some kind of translation mandate, or was he instead seeking to provide Timothy with spiritual counseling concerning the improper conduct occurred among some women? He didn't say all women. Some women know how to keep up myths in a church. Y'all already know that, women. Some women can start more gossip, and he say, they say, we say, and all that. But when it comes to the word of God, we got to teach what the word says. And, you know, when you view this passages in other context will require denying the legitimacy of Paul, often referring to the work and ministry of women with the various churches of this day and of his day. You know, in the Old Testament, for instance, here we have Miriam was used of God as a prophet during the time of the great Exodus. You'll find that 15 and 20. As both a prophet and a judge. Here Deborah was an instrumental leader in guiding God's army. And Huldah, another prophet, was about to contribute to the powerful religious reform under King Josiah. When you read that scripture, really read it and start seeing how God used women way back in biblical time. So why is it a problem for women to have a role in the ministry now? Anybody would like to say anything, please hit one on your keypad. I would love to hear today what the women are saying today out there. You know, the New Testament also revealed the essential role women share in the ministry of the early church. Contrary to the culture norm of that time regarding the status of women in society, the Apostle Paul frequently referred to the contributed made by women. I'm going to stick a pin in it right there. When you walk into a church right now, I don't care what church it is throughout the United States, who do you find sitting in the church? 3/4 of the people in church are women and children. Where are the men? If God couldn't use the men, well, he have the women he can use. The work got still go on. When you go to the jails and the prison, 3/4 of them are right there. All of them, 100% is in prison. And those that's not in prison, you can count them almost on 2 fingers or 2 hands, those that really carry the message God told them. God's work will go on with the men or without the men, with the women or without the women. God's work will go on. And until we get it in our fine like mind that God can use us, he can use anybody. I'm just trying to break it down today. You know, Paul speaks of women who work hard with him in the work of the gospel. You'll find that in Romans 16, 6 through 12, of Philippians 4 and 3. And, you know, we have different women that's throughout the Bible that did ministry. You'll find them. I won't take a lot of time today to go through every woman's name, but as you read through the scriptures, you will find each one that did the working of the ministry. You know, we believe that this equality of men and women represents the heart of God and the revelation of scripture. We recognize certain government roles in the church do have some gender distinction between the community of faith, as it is true with the biblical construction of the home. You know, we do affirm the tremendous contribute women have made in the early days of the church and must continue to make as we move forward in the ministry of Trinity Church. You know, the Spirit of God is pouring out on all flesh, and we seek to walk in step with the Holy Spirit in power, practice until Christ returns. It's telling you, God poured out his Spirit on all flesh, not some people, not one particular gender, not because you got $1 million or you don't have no money. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about prestige. When the Holy Ghost come in, like you said, you can have a Holy Ghost prayer. You don't know who God have to you. So don't underestimate somebody by the way they look or the way they talk, or they're not presenting it like you would. God gives each person what he wants he or her to have and what he would want he or her to say. So we have to realize we are in the body of Christ. We are to do the things that Christ have called us to do. You know, the church is greatly indebted to devoted women who love Christ with so much dedication that they are willing to sacrifice anything for Christ. You know, when cynical people declare the most congregated consists among entire of women, I said that earlier, they are merely confirming a scripture truth. Why is this so? Some of the problems, they are in prison. They're in jail. They don't want to, they're running from the calling God have given them. One reason may be that women are more sensitive and spiritually aware than men. Some men would have been much wiser and richer had they followed the advice of a devoted mother or a dedicated spouse. Others are where they are taught today only because of the prayer and support of a loving mother. Just think about how your mother prayed for you, your grandmother prayed for you, how they kept you before the Lord. They could see things in you when you were little that you didn't even see in yourself. But God already knew. God was already working on your behalf then. My. When you just think about what God is doing and how he's doing it for each and every you women. You know, Paul tells us that there are no difference between men and women. Now, Paul said that in the scripture. If Paul said that back there before you start even reading the word of God, and now that you're reading the word of God and you see that in scripture, what do that tell you? He said Jews, Gentiles, slaves, and free people. That means it was no different. In Jesus Christ, we all are one. Until people get to realize we are one, if you cut me and you cut the one next to me, we're going to both bleed red blood, which blood Jesus shed for all of us on the cross. He didn't go to the cross just for men. He didn't go to the cross just for a baby. He went to the cross for every one of us in our sin. And if anyone would like to chime in on the program today, please feel free. Hit one on your keypad. I would love to hear from you today. You know, this unity in Christ makes Christians depend on each other. Men and women draw their inspiration from the same source, which is Jesus Christ. You know, therefore, we should show respect and appreciation for the service that every person offers. Don't sideline somebody because they're not saying what you thought they should say, or they're not speaking Hebrew, Greek, just because you speak Hebrew or Greek, or they're not having a dialect. That's not what it's all about. It's about saving souls. It's about ministering to God's people. It's about leading people from out of sin, out of darkness, unto the marvelous light. That's what God wants us to do as men and women of God. You know, when you think about the supernatural manifestation and the gifts of the Holy Spirit have played a distinct role in the original and development and growth of the assembly of God. You know, the Pentecostal movement believed that the 20th century outpouring of the Spirit is a true fulfillment of the scripture prediction. And like I said earlier, your daughters shall prophesy. Also upon the handmaiden in the days when he will pour out his Spirit. Here he's telling us this in the scripture. We cannot not listen to what the scripture is saying and what God is telling us. We can search ourselves and the scriptures must be our final authority in settling questions of faith and practice. But when born again, spirit-filled Christians follow proper principles, come to reasonable but different interpretations. We do well not to become dogmatic in support of one's position. We affirm, you know, and authorize of scriptures. We desire for certain what God expects of us. When we come to a sure understanding of his divine word, we are committed to declare and obey those clear instructions that the Lord gives us. But we also exercise caution in giving authority importance to interpretation that do not have indisputable support from the whole scripture. Although the Holy Spirit may be acted in the work of translation and interpretation, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, we have people calling in. So if anyone would like to say anything, I'll pause for a few minutes. If anyone want to come in and say a few things, please feel free at this time. I would love to hear from you because I know it's a lot of people out there want to say something today on this topic. Don't be afraid because God's sitting high and he's looking low. And just like he gave me a mouth to speak, he was giving y'all one too. So you don't have to be afraid what somebody going to say. If you carry the word of God, if God have put the word on the inside of you, he wants you to speak it. He wants you to tell the world about it. How are we going to save souls if we're going to be mealy-mouthed? We ain't going to open our mouth. We scared. It's going to intimidate us. No, we got to open our mouth and let the Holy Ghost rule. I have somebody just tune in. I know they want to talk about the role of women in ministry. Just hit one on your keypad. I would love to hear from you all today. You know, here we have Tabitha, Dorcas, is called a disciple, and had a ministry of help. Philip had four virgin daughters who prophesied, and they list their names. Priscilla was another example of Paul, helper in Christ Jesus, over in Romans 16:3-4. In Romans 16, Paul greets a multitude of ministering persons, a large number of them women. Here was Phoebe, a leader in the church, was highly commended to the church at Rome by Paul. Unfortunately, bias of modern English translation, you know, here Phoebe's position of leadership called her a servant or helper. When you look through the scriptures, ladies, you're going to find how God used the women in ministry. We're not worrying about titles. We're just worrying about serving God. See, it's a lot of people hooked up on titles. Titles ain't Savior. We get it because that's what's happening in society now. But when God called you out to carry the word, to teach, preach, prophesy, work in administration, help, servant, we got many names we can go under if you want to. Just do the work. That's what's important. See, so many people are hooked up on the titles in these churches that they can't get out there and do the work. You see your brother and sister out there with a cup. You see them raggedy. You got clothes you can give them to put on. But you so bougie, you so this, you so that you figure you above them. Hadn't you thought about one day you was down and somebody passed and gave you a helping hand? Had you forgot about you needed food on your table and God sent somebody with a bag of groceries? Women, get up. Get up, women, and stop doing what God have called you to do. If he told you to go to the hospital and do hospital work, do it gladly. If he told you to go to the nursing home, go to the nursing home. If he told you to teach Bible study, teach Bible study. If he told you to pastor, preach, you do what God called you to do. It's so many women, it's caught up with what this one say, what that one say. But are you going by what did the Holy Ghost say? Are you listening to what God said? Are you listening to what Susan, Billy, and tomcat down the alley that haven't left home, haven't picked up the Bible, haven't read one scripture, not even reading the daily word, not reading the upper room, not reading nothing, but they can tell what you're supposed to be doing and not supposed to be doing. Wake up, women. Time is winding up. It's not long as it has been. We have waited too long to be validated and validated by man. When God called you from your mother's womb, and he keeps teaching you year after year, day after day, that light bulb going to go on in your head one day. And when it go on, I hope it's not too late for you to catch hold of what God is telling you to do. You know, women filling leadership roles in the Bible should be taken as divine approved patterns, not as exception to divine decree. Even a limited number of women with scripture commanding leadership roles shall affirm that God does indeed call women to spiritual leadership. When you think of that, you start from Genesis all the way around and all the way down. Some expositors had taught that all women should be subordinate to God men because Eve was created after Adam to be his helper or helpmeet. You know, yet the word helper is never used in the Hebrew Bible with a subordinating meaning. 17 out of the 20 times it is used, it referred to God as the helper instead of being created as a subordinated. Eve was created to be a suitable helper of one corresponding to Adam. You know, some argue that God created man and woman with different characteristics and desires, and that these differences explain why leadership roles should be withheld from women. Others attribute these perception differences to culture and social expectation imposed on children from birth to adulthood. Physically different and distinctly biological functions are obvious, but it is only by implication that gender distinctly can be made to suggest leadership limitation. You know, ministry in the New Testament is charismatic in nature. It is made possible and energized as the Holy Spirit disrupts spiritual gifts. You know, while some gifts are spontaneous work of spirits, others are recognized ministering gifts to the body. All are given for service without regard to gender differentiation. For example, the gift of prophecy is exploited for both men and women. It don't say just a man could prophesy or just a woman. Your sons and your daughters, the word of God say, shall prophesy. That is in Acts 2 and 17. That women receive and exercise this gift of the Spirit is well attested in the New Testament. If Peter found certain statements of Paul hard to understand, then it is no surprise that we who are removed by additional years of history would share his struggle in interpreting some of Pauline's passage. We, like Peter, 2 Peter 3 and 15, must love and respect our brothers and sisters who hold alternative interpretation on issues that are not critical to our salvation or standing before God. We only require that those interpretations be expressed and practical in love and considered for all of God's children, both men and women. You know, in 1 Corinthians, the chapter 11, 3 to 12, is saying that the statement that man is the head of the woman has for centuries been used to justify the practice of male superiority and to exclude women from spiritual leadership. Two alternatives translate head, debating widely by contemporary scholars, or authority over, and souls or original. Both meanings can be found in the literature of Paul's time in writing. Take the passage as a whole. The second meaning fits as well or better than the first meaning, leading to the statement. As a woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. My. But all things are of God, even the relationship between the eternal Son and the Father. The head of Christ is God. Fit better as source than authority over. Without attempting to resolve this debate, we do not find sufficient evidence to deny leadership roles to women. We do not find in Scripture. In light of biblical example of women in position of spiritual authority, and in light of whole counsel of Scripture, when you think about the important role of women, don't you know some women can reach some men to and bring them into salvation, where some men may not reach that man, but some woman with the word of God that God has put on the inside of her would draw. I'm saying draw what God has given you, not what they give themselves, but what God has done, that will draw men and women in to the body of Christ. And, you know, when you think, a lot of people like to hop on that one passage that says, let your women keep silent. How many of you all know that's what they want to do? They want us to keep silent. But y'all better open your mouth. You better do what God say do, because you don't want to be whipped by many stripes or by being disobedient. I don't want to be disobedient. No, I do not. I do not. I do not. I want to, do what he say do. And if me proclaiming the gospel, whether it's in a church, in a school, in a house, on the street, wherever God send you to, proclaim the gospel. Some of our tag words we are using today is role, women and the tomb. We have talked about that throughout our topic today. You know, Paul recognized the ministry of women, yet there was some obvious problem concerning women in Ephesus. They were evidently given to immoral apparel and adornment. Women, it's a proper way that we come before the Lord. The important role of a woman. I'm adding that to it too today. We shouldn't come looking like the world looks when we come in before Christ, when we come into church, or whatever we're going, we're supposed to be Christ-like. We are holy. We are holy women of God. We should have a standard about ourselves where other people would know automatically. You don't have to have a Bible in your hand 24/7 for God and the people, not so much God, but for the people on the outside to say, I can tell who she is, not because her dress down to the floor, the way she carry herself, the way she speak, the way she minister. They should be able to tell a difference from a godly woman, from an ungodly woman. And, you know, I was taught a long time ago, every woman that put a dress over her head don't mean she a woman. And every man that put a pair of pants on his leg don't mean he a man. And, you know, at that time, for a long time, I was trying to understand what they meant by that. But time has come where you can see the difference. Everybody you think is a woman ain't a woman. Everybody you think a man ain't a man. So you better have some discernment. You better have some word down on the inside where God can speak to you and let you know and show you exactly what is going on. I thank God for this topic today. Everybody is quiet today. Nobody want to say anything today. But I give God the praise. I thank all of you all that came on the broadcast today. When you think about it, you know, we don't want to be idle in God's house and not doing what he say. We don't want to be tactless. We don't want to be busybody, speaking things which we ought not to women. In the second letter to Timothy, Paul warned against the proud person, possibly including women who manipulate weak-willed or gullible women. You know that some women is not stronger than others, but you can help them. You can bring them up to the potential God wants them to have and to be. You know, Timothy advised about dealing with hectic teaching and practice involving women in the church of Ephesus. You know, the hearsays may have been so serious that they had to what they had to say about the Ephesian woman. I'm not allowing women to teach or have authority over men, but we know from other passages that such exclusion was not normative in Paul's ministry. Paul used women in his ministry. You know, this entire passage has been held by some to confirm that all leaders and authority in the early church was intended to be and indeed were males. It is true that the passage deals primarily with male leadership, most likely because majority practice and expectation. When there were women leaders like Phoebe, they would be expected to meet the same standard of character and behavior. You know, one redeeming leaves the impression of that these qualifications for deacons' wives and others suggest this adaptation is just to female spiritual leaders. And, you know, I always wondered about that. Your husband, you married, your husband is a deacon, and you become a deaconess. Okay. Where did that derive from? That means that's showing that in the Word so that woman still could do things and say things. So why not? It's a big thing for women having a partner role in the ministry. That's to be thought about. Over in Galatians 3:28, those who oppose allowing women to hold position of spiritual leadership must place limitation on Galatians 3:28. The word said there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond or free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are one in Christ Jesus. Now here it is in the word, ladies and gentlemen, if there be any listening. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Some interpretation restrict the meaning of this to salvation by faith or oneness in Christ. That's true, certainly, is authenticated throughout Scripture. Yet the verse carry a ring of universal application for all our relationship, for just an assurance that anyone can come to Christ, neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, the male nor female. These are basic relationship principles to which faithful followers of Christ must give highest priority. You know, the God of the Bible had no respect of person. You'll find that in Romans 2:11. Also, 2 Samuel 14:14, it says, and 2 Chronicles 19:7, he called whom he will. Let me say that again. He called God of whom he will. Give gifts and ministry as he chooses. And man must not put limitation on divine pre-gabitude. In Christ, we are truly set free from sin and its cure which separate us from God, elevating or demanding according to race, social standing, or gender. Today, we have been talking about the important role of women in ministry, not just at home cooking, cleaning, washing, ironing, on a job 8 to 5 or 8 to 12 or whatever. We're talking about women's role, period, in ministry. We are aware that the leadership of women is not accepted by some individual, both within and outside our Christian community. We condemn all prejudge and self-promotion by men or women. But there is no place for such an attitude in the body of Christ. So today, our broadcast has been on the important role of women. So for all the women that's been listening in today, find your rightful place where God has placed you at. Go about doing what God has called you to do. Somewhere in the body of Christ, God has a place for you. You don't have to sit on the pew for the next 30, 40, 50 years not doing anything. Get up, be about God's business. We must reach men and women for Christ, no matter what their culture, ethnic custom may be. We affirm that the Great Commission takes priority over every other consideration. A believer's gift and anointing should still today make a way for his or her ministry. The Pentecostal ministry is not a profession to which men or women merely aspire. It must always be a divine calling confirmed by the Spirit with a special gifting. So today I hope all the women that are listening in or were listening in on the archive got something out of this broadcast today. Please stay tuned next week when God gives me another exciting topic that I will bring forth on this blog talk show. So until next week, before we close, let's have a few words of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for this broadcast today. We thank you for the women that was able to tune in and listen throughout the broadcast. We thank you that their minds and their eyes are open, their minds are open, their thought pattern have illuminated from the scriptures I give where they can go to it for themselves and read it. It's not about Satan. It's all about the word of God. I give you the praise today, and I give you the glory. And until next week, I want each one of y'all to be blessed. Hope to hear from you all next week. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye. Going out on me. Oh, you want to go up? I don't know if it went all the way out. So I can. Ooh.